Praise the Lord.
Alleluia.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Our subject today is we are priests.
Amen.
What troubles me a lot is that God's people do not know what it means to be a Christian. Somebody said, I attend church every week, so I am committed. And somebody says, I don't need to come to church, I don't need a pastor, I can pray at home, and I am committed. Somebody is sitting in a church, but not listening to the message of God, but constantly talking either to the neighbor, to the baby, or to the smartphone. They all say, I am committed. Committed to what? Certainly not to God. Commitment to God is totally different. Praise the Lord. Peter wrote this word in the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verse 9, where he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have different aspects in this verse. You are chosen, you are special people, and you have a job to do, to proclaim him, proclaim the praises to him who called you out of darkness into his light. You have to understand that you are chosen. Jesus said this about being chosen in John chapter 15, verse 16, where it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. So, you have been chosen.
Amen.
You did not decide to become a Christian. You were chosen. If you decide and choose to follow Christ, you can say, okay, I will decide to follow you, but only to a certain degree. It's like going to a job. You decide to work for a company, and when you don't like it, you leave. But the case here is totally different. God the Almighty has chosen you to serve him. It's not an option. It's a command. It's a law that we have been chosen. We should do what he says. All of us were called to serve. Some have a special calling as a pastor, apostle, evangelist, teacher or prophet. But all of us are chosen. If you are a Christian and you attend the church, then you have a job to fulfill in your church. If you don't want to do that job, you can leave and proclaim, I don't like the call of God. Too many Christians today, they have the idea that they can do and leave just as they want. Because the world today, you can do everything, everything is permitted, everything you can do. When you need something, still these people, they come to God and say, give me, give me, give me. They don't know what the Word of God says. They never read it. They haven't got a clue what it says. And they don't know what God demands of us. Attending church should not be to please a pastor. If you go to church to please a pastor, you better don't come. It's nice for the pastor to have many people in the congregation, but you are not here to please the pastor. You're here for God. Nobody should receive a telephone call and the pastor calling, please come to church on Sunday. Because if you're a believer, You cannot wait until Sunday arrives. From Monday on, you say, oh, when can I go to church again? It should be like that. That you say, oh, I cannot wait. I want to go to the church. Why is that? Because in the church, you are fulfilling your duty. In church, you are chosen by God. You are close to God in the church, together with other believers. In church, you do your duty as a priest. So what is a priest? Abraham, he gave a tithe to Melchizedek, who is a priest forever, and you can read more about that in Hebrews. It tells a lot about him. In Exodus, after Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, God gave him a command about priesthood. The tribe of Levi was called as workers in the tabernacle and later on in the temple. Aaron was a high priest. His sons became priests. If somebody claimed to be a priest, you know he's of the family of Aaron. The elder son becomes the high priest when the father dies, but all the other sons are priests. And you are a priest for life, for always. You cannot suddenly say, now I don't want to be a priest anymore. If you do, you will be stoned to death. The call of God as priest or Christian is not for a certain time, but for always, for eternity. Not only for this life, but for eternity. Remember that. I have been called as a pastor. And that call didn't end when I was 65, when I retired. This call has been forever, eternal. Now Peter said, you are a royal priesthood. There are two things in this. One is you are royal, you're a king, and you're a priest. Everyone who claims to be a Christian is chosen as a king and a priest. We become kings because Jesus is the King of Kings. God Almighty is our King. And we are kings because we have become children of God. So if God is our King and we become His children, we are also kings. A king is not somebody who rules and suppresses his people. A real king looks for the welfare of his subjects. And we are priests because we have been chosen. All believers, all those who call themselves Christians, not only pastors, you have been chosen. And you have been called. Elsa, I have called you. Angela, I have called you. Harek, I have called you. So it says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19-20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Listen to this word. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, God, honor God with your body. The Montgomery New Testament says, you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So, these verses clearly say that you are not your own. People say, oh, I know who I am, I can do what I want. But if you're not your own anymore, you cannot do what you want, but what the owner does. You are not your own. You have been bought as a slave by God. A bond servant is a slave. Today, nobody wants to be a slave. Nobody wants to be a servant. The bond servant and the slave is the same. A slave or a servant is entirely at the disposal of the master. When Paul wrote these words, he was under Roman law. A bond servant was considered the property of the owner. So he could do with it whatever he wanted. Slaves have no right. No right. If we are slaves of Christ, we have no right. So slaves have no right. And if the master wants to kill them, he can do that without any problem. The Mosaic law allowed the servant to become a bond servant voluntarily. It says, if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and my children, I don't want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door of the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. You can read that in Exodus 21, 5 and 6. So many prominent men in the Old Testament were referred to as servants. God spoke to Abraham as his servant in Genesis 26, 24. Joshua is called a servant of the Lord in Joshua 24, 29. And so is David in 2 Samuel 7. And Isaiah in Isaiah 20. Even the Messiah is called a servant of God in Isaiah 53, 11. In all these instances, the term servant carries the idea of humble nobility. Being a servant is an honorable position. You're still a servant and not your own. Therefore, as king and as priest, we are also slaves. As a Christian, you have to understand who you are. And you have to understand what you are. If you are a slave of Jesus Christ, you cannot do as the world does. That's why Jesus said you cannot serve both God and the world. You love the one and hate the other. Don't tell me you're a committed Christian if you love the world, if you love making money, if you love to live in luxury. As priest, remember you have been chosen and called as a priest. You are not a priest because you fancy it. You are called, and that is your job. There is no other possibility for you. So what is the responsibility of a priest? First, the priest offers to God. When people bring material gifts to the house of God, God empowers the priest or the pastor to convert these from natural materials into spiritual materials. From natural substance to spiritual substance useful unto God. Without the office of a priest, material things presented to God remain mundane and they have no spiritual value. So the priest or the pastor is changing worldly things into spiritual things. That is why in many countries they are, farmers are bringing a bottle of water and ask the pastor to bless it. Because they believe that this natural water will become spiritual substance, and that when they put it on their field, it will bring growth. And second, the priest is called to intercede for men. A priest stands between God and men. It's his office to do so. When he does it, God is obligated to hear the priest's voice and respond accordingly. In the Old Testament, nobody could come close to God. Moses was told to build a fence around the mountain so that people would not come too close to God and be killed. In a tabernacle and later in a temple, no ordinary person was permitted to enter it. Only the priests, and only the high priest once a year into the most holy part. After he has done certain regulations. God is holy. Mm-hmm. But today, many people, they don't give reverence to him. In the world, things have lost value. What was law for centuries, today they put it aside. Children are told not to disobey their parents. In the school, they say, don't do what your parents say. Policemen who were used to esteem have lost their esteem. When you go to school, you're shocked how children are talking to their teachers. When I was a child, I wouldn't utter a sound, neither at school nor in the church. As my father was a pastor, we had to go to church every Sunday. We were not permitted to make a sound. If we did, we got the father's punishing look and we were put in our place. Forget about running around in the church. That is no reference to God, either by adults nor by children. So we have to teach our small children to refer the holy place. The church is not just a building, it's a holy place. As priests, we have to intercede for other people. We pray for the sick and the healthy. We pray for the poor and the wealthy. James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." So what James wrote has even authority today. Instead of running to the hospital, you should call the pastor. James 5:16, he continues, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." So, what James says, when you are in church, and even if you are at home, pray for each other. That is our duty as priests. Paul wrote about about our role in church. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, where it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Don't stop attending the church. Don't stop attending prayer meetings. Let's encourage one another. And in Ephesians we are told how we should talk to one another. It says in Hebrews 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making music from your hearts to the Lord. That is how we should talk to one another. Use the word of God to the glory of God. Instead of gossiping, telling bad news, criticizing other people, we should bring glory unto the Lord. The third, the priest is called to teach the word of God. As a priest, you have to teach the word of God and reveal the principles and the way of life in the kingdom of God. The priest is called to teach people to live for God and towards God. We are to lead many into the kingdom and teach them the way of the kingdom. This is the commandment of Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Spirit and of the Holy Spirit, of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them, you see, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So go into all the world, make disciples, and teach them. We are to teach the word of God to the people. How can you preach if you don't know the word? How can you know the word if you don't read the Bible? For years I'm teaching and preaching to Christians and say, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, but I have very little success. Christians are lazy. They don't understand the importance, the power, and the impact of the Bible. They don't understand the Bible is not a storybook. It's not a fashion magazine. It's the word of the Almighty God who has called you. By reading the word, you understand his holiness and the majesty of God. You learn to give reverence to him, to give him the glory which belongs only to him. We have such a privilege to have the word and to come into his presence. When Jesus died, the curtain which divided the most holy place of the holy place in the temple was torn, opened the way for us to go. We don't have to offer animal sacrifice anymore. We have direct access to our Father. We can come to him freely because we are justified by the death of Jesus Christ and we are made righteous by the resurrection of Christ. In the Old Testament, very few people have fragments of prophetic writings. But we have the whole Bible, Old and New Testament at our disposal. We can read whenever we want. Men have given their lives to translate the Bible into your language. They have given their lives. Many of them were killed. Don't treat the Bible as an ordinary book. The Bible is a holy book, and that is why it is called Holy Bible. We are to perform our duty as priests now, today, not sometimes in the far future. Our office, our responsibility is today. Since the rapture is so close, Christians have to wake up from their sleep and fulfill their duty as priests, and that call is imminent. We may have a year, maybe a little bit more, before the rapture of the church, when we are taken up Before that, we have a great task to fulfill. The world is going from bad to worse, and most of them, they don't know they're running into destruction. We have to warn people to turn to Christ. We have to teach them the way of God. We have to wake up sleeping Christians who live the way of the world. Traveling out the world as an apostle has been my ministry for many years, and it was always to wake up Christians and to turn to Christ. For many years, decades, I've been traveling and telling people. Many need encouragement. Many need to turn. I have to turn them by force almost. I have to turn them to Christ. Because they don't understand. There is no more time to make games. No more time to play Christian. The end is at hand. Read the news. Study what they are telling you. And study what they are not telling you. And then compare it with the Bible. The world stage is set for the Antichrist. The world government, world economy, world religion. UN and WHO are drawing all authority of the world to themselves, only to give it over to the Antichrist when the time comes. Christians are put in prison for preaching the gospel, as it has happened this week in Canada. A young man was preaching the gospel, he was arrested. Don't be fooled by what people are telling you. Take the example of Christ. Take the example of COVID. We always preach that it is dangerous. We discourage people from taking that, what they call vaccination. But today many doctors are saying the same thing. A report came this week where leading scientists are saying that people should not take any more COVID vaccinations because it's so dangerous. What we said, what we professed, has brought us a lot of repression. We have been cut off Facebook. We have been cut off YouTube. But the world knows about the dangers today. Every politician came to understand what has been happening. The countless people who have long-term effects from vaccinations speak a clear picture. But I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about what is at hand. I beg you, have a clear understanding of Have a clear understanding that the world is not going round and round for thousands of years as it has in the past. The time of the rapture and the subsequent return of Jesus Christ is very close. So be prepared. Be prepared. So what are we to do? Remember, you're not a Christian by choice. You're a Christian because you have been chosen. And you have been called.
Amen.
You are called to bring glory unto God.
Amen.
You have been called to intercede for others. Amen. To bring them to God. You have been called to bring gifts unto God. So live up to the high calling that you have received. Amen. Understand you have a high calling in your life. And live up to that. Don't look to yourself as ordinary. You're not ordinary. You are priests of the Almighty God. Know who you are. Understand your standing. Bring praise to God as is due to him.